Lost Roses by Martha Hall Kelly. Read for you by Kathleen Gotti, Tavia Gilbert, Carissa Vacker, and Catherine Tabor. With a note read by the author. It was a spring party like any other held in Southampton, with the usual games. Croquet, badminton, mild social cruelty. It took place at Mother's house on Gin Lane, a sprawling white clabbered place surrounded by a swoop of tawny lawn which eased down to meet the ocean. The Queen Anne Cottage, known to most as Mitchell Cottage after Father's people, stood with her sisters lined up along the treeless South Fork of Long Island, New York, like passengers on a ship deck facing out to sea. If I paid more attention that day, maybe I could have predicted which of the boys who laughed over croquet wickets would soon die in the forests of Argonne, or which women would exchange their ivory silk dresses for black crepe. I wouldn't have pointed to myself. It was late May, and too unseasonably cool near the ocean for a fete of any kind, but Mother insisted on sending our Russian friends, the Streshnevas, off in style. I stood in the cool, wide living room at the back of the house. Like a steamship wheelhouse, it provided the perfect view of the backyard through the picture window, the glass hazed with salt from the sea. It gave the scene a blurry look as guests drifted down the lawn to the dunes. I felt two arms wrap around my waist and turned to find my 11-year-old daughter, Caroline, already almost to my shoulder in height, her hair the color of summer hay and pulled back in a white ribbon. Her friend Betty Stockwell stood at her side, a complete opposite of Caroline, 5 inches shorter and already blossoming into a dark-haired beauty. Though dressed in matching white dresses, they were as different as chalk and cheese. Caroline held her arms fast around my waist. "We're going to walk the beach, and Father says he's sorry he dressed without your help this morning, but don't deprive him of his Dubonnet." I smoothed one hand down her back. "Tell your father colorblind men who insist on sneaking yellow socks into their wardrobes cannot be forgiven." Caroline smiled up at me. "You're my favorite, Mother." She ran off across the lawn and down to the beach, past men who held on to their straw hats, their white flannel trousers flapping in the breeze. Ladies in canvas shoes and suits of cream linen over dainty lingerie shirtwaists turned their faces to the sun. Back from places like Palm Beach, happy to feel northern breezes again. Mother's suffragette friends, most outfitted in black taffeta and silk, lent dark contrast to the otherwise pale lawn, like strutting crows in golden flax. Mother came and linked arms with me. "A bit chilly for a beach walk." My 70-year-old mother, Caroline Carson Woolsey Mitchell, referred to as Carrie by her sisters, stood as tall as I did, 6 feet, a staunch New Englander sprung from ancient Yankee stock that had weathered as many heartaches as hurricanes. "They'll be fine, Mother." I squinted to see my Henry, Caroline, and Betty already walking down the beach, the skirt of Caroline's white dress wind-puffed as if ready to fly her skyward. "They have their shoes off?" Mother asked. "I do hope they come in soon." The wind stirred whitecaps on the ocean as the three walked, heads bowed. Mother wrapped her arms warm around me. "What do they even talk about, Caroline and Henry?" "Everything. Lost in their own world,"